What's goody, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
What's up, everybody, man? This your host, Bruising Boxing Mall. Welcome in, y'all, to episode 19 of the Fade Hour. This is about to be an interesting 2019. And before we even get into our topics tonight, I'm going ahead and kick it around to Florida, everybody, you know, to my usual cast of bandits. But still, just want them to introduce themselves so y'all be so y'all know who rocking with me tonight.
What up, world? It's your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. Hey, first podcast of 2019. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling back. I'm feeling rejuvenated. Man, I still got the Sherbert OG. I've even went on a little break for that because I knew I had to be right for the Fade Hour. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready for war, ready to talk about whatever we got to talk about, and let's get to it.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke at Free Smoke Boxing. Happy New Year to all y'all. I am joined by my sidekicks, Lagunita, Super Cluster Ale, which is like 8%, and I got Wedding Cake with me, and Wedding Cake is a motherfucker, so let's kick it off.
Yo, what's good, Joe? It's Pat Scorpion, the New England representative, and unfortunately for me, I could not drink my usual wine right now because, you know, I'm on my King P shit for 2019. I have to drink water tonight, you know, because if I don't, you know, something bad might happen after this podcast in the bathroom. So I'm just keeping it 100% with y'all. You know what I'm saying? Stomach bug is no joke. So, but it don't matter. I don't, you know, I can get faded next time, but I still got my energy, though. So let's get it.
What's good, y'all? This is your boy P. Representing Ringside Rave, Bodega Boxing. I want to wish everybody a happy new year. We'll start off 2019 with a bang, and I'm starting off 2019 with a can of Arizona Ice.
What's up, y'all? It's Leon from Champside. Let's get into it.
Bet, man. Again, y'all, welcome to our first podcast of 2019. I know fans wondering what's our opinion on the Charlo's card, the Warrington Frampton, the Dillian White, Chisora, all that, man. We may get in that later, but before we even start in that, we definitely want to kick it off with the upcoming fight this Friday with the prospect we've talked about countless times in 2018, Devin Haney, who returns to the ring against a guy that we nicknamed the X-Man. And yeah, I want to go ahead and kick in the news and when it comes to Haney and how we always do when we expect him to win, just we still want to talk about things that we want to see him do in the ring, things we'll be looking forward to, how we expect the fight to play out, so forth and so on. So yeah, News, if you want to do the honors and go ahead and kick it off, and give us, you know, your insight when it comes to Mr. Devin Haney and his upcoming fight.
Oh,
you
no
know,
doubt.
Also, upcoming what we looking forward to him come 2019 as well.
Okay. What I'm looking forward to, I see Devin Haney, first off, it looks like he's back with Floyd. I don't remember him being with Floyd, Big Floyd, for his last fight. And the fact that Devin Haney, a.k.a. The Dream, better known now as New Money, you know what I mean, is now back up under the wing of Big Money with Good Money, showing him how to do what he do. I can't see nothing but, I don't know, let me see. Before I go there, I'm going to say this. I already thought Devin Haney was a blue chip prospect. That was before he had Floyd Mayweather Sr. Back in the fold. With Floyd Mayweather Sr. back in the fold, I see nothing but greatness. I don't know what other level you can get. I don't know whatever you have over greatness. I'm gonna just say I just see greatness. 2019, I expect him to come away with a title for the end of the year. This fight on Friday, another showcase fight for him. I can see him going in here, and I don't know any much about the guy. He's like from South Africa. Never seen him before. Never heard of his name before, so I can't even say it. Never seen him fight.
No, mm-hmm.
But it's Devin Haney, so it don't matter. I'm going with Devin Haney to take the impressive victory. I don't even need to know the opponent. That's how strongly I feel about him.
Yeah, so when we were doing our awards show, I had Devin Haney as prospect of the year for 2018. That being said, I think he's going to continue those ways in 2019. and start it off with a bang, so to speak, and hopefully knock the X-Man out. X-Man, obviously, I don't think any of us have seen him. Maybe if we went to YouTube or something, we might be able to find some fights, but there's probably very little footage on him, so it might take a few rounds for Haney to adjust, but I think after he gets in the group, you know, he's just going to kind of step on the gas and get him out of there. And like New said, I was kind of surprised to see Floyd Sr. in the training videos, because I don't remember him there for the Mason Menard camp, but that could just be all the weed. But yeah, I think Devin Haney in a dominant performance, per usual.
For me, well, first of all, I have to say, because I did watch the little thing on show, the day in camp thing that's on YouTube, and I mean, it looked like it was like very focused for, you know, for a young cat. I mean, I didn't see any, you know, any nonsense, no him messing around with older whores or anything like that. You know, it was just, he was talking business, it was about his business and stuff like that. Hey man, I already told you before about Haney, man. Like, once you mess around with older whores, it's a wrap. And he was doing
there
it.
There you go,
man. If a nigga want to have his hoes, let him have his hoes. God damn.
Yeah, let him be older or not.
Well, all I know is that this young man has talent, and he doesn't need to be led astray by by an older whore. You know what I'm saying? That has addicted to plastic surgery. You know what I'm saying?
So you want him to get led astray by a younger whore?
Yeah, Pat Kelly.
I don't want to be in such a divorce period. I want him to get focused on business. But I was impressed by what I was watching too. I mean, man, you know, the young man is very like level headed and everything like that. With that being said, what I'm looking for in this fight that's on Friday is I want more of a killer instinct. Like in the fight he had last time, I felt like he was just. Yeah, I felt like he didn't step his foot on the gas a little bit. You know, he didn't seem to step his foot on the gas too much. So, I didn't think that was a fight that should have went the distance. This time, I hope that he actually does put the guy away. So that's what I'm basically looking for in this fight.
Right, the Burgos fight. Right.
Yeah. So I mean, and yeah, I hope he does have a breakout to 2019 too, because. You know, 135, you know, is getting, it is 135 he's fighting at, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so, yeah, I definitely want to see him in the mix.
Gotcha, man. Leon?
Yeah, I mean, I know exactly what Pat is talking about. I watched the day in camp, and, you know, it showed how he wakes up at 5 a.m., and yeah. He said something important. He said that he trains even when he doesn't want to or when he doesn't feel like working out. And he said when he's done, he always feels happy about it. And he talked about how he studies, you know, the greats. He's under the tutelage of the Mayweathers. He was training in, or he did his sparring in Ward's gym. So, you know, they got a relationship. So he got a lot of connections in the game. And like I said before, he got his own promotional company, and he's running with the Mayweather blueprint right now. Like, yep. He turned pro at 16. He turned pro in Mexico. He couldn't go to the Olympics. He was too young to be a professional in America. So he's already got 20-something fights, and he can break that record. And I see him, you know, for his style, he going to have a long career if he fights the way he keeps fighting. I agree, he's probably gonna try to work on his power in this fight. And shout out to the fight being in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Bet.
Yeah, so I actually one thing I was gonna say is when you see the you know, the training videos on Instagram or Twitter or, you know, whatever your favorite boxing website is, it should be one of our YouTubes or something like that, Haney seems like he was working on power in his right hand. I think that Teofimo Lopez knocking out Mason Menard the way that they did kind of made Haney feel some type of way that he needs to go out and like really put the exclamation point on this performance.
Yeah, everyone loves a knockout, man. That I mean, you know, just what you do.
He dominated Menard, though. Like,
oh yeah, without a doubt. But still,
But oh yeah, Pete, what you you can chime in with your thoughts.
So basically, I think that this should be a showcase fight for Devin Haney. So I don't really have much expectations of like big things like for this fight. Like he should dominate the fight.
Right.
But as for like, I want to see, you know, going forward, because like things I want to see going forward, I won't see until he really steps up and fights like guys that can really take it to him. Like I want to see his like killer instinct, and because I know Pat said you know, he wants to see his killer instinct, but I never really expect guys to show their killer instinct against a low level guy. Sometimes they cruise, and sometimes don't you really see it? But I mean, it would be cool if we see it then, but I just want to see him keep improving, and I think he's almost there. So a couple more fights. He should be ready for a title fight. So I want to see how he handles adversity against somebody who really brings it to him. But that'll be later along the line, but hopefully soon.
Gotcha. Yeah, because you and News, well, what you just said, and News said it earlier in regards to a title fight. Because I see he's ranked in the WBC, which is the one Mikey got, the WBA, yeah, which is a guy, and the IBF, which is vacant. So
he was ranked pretty high in the WBA. I remember he was ranked like 6th or 7th last time I checked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's only a couple fights away, whether he's ready or not.
Yeah, it's going. Yeah, hopefully he does get a step up fight after this, man. Because yeah, I'm with y'all. Even though he's young in age.
That was supposed to be a step-up fight, though. Yeah. That Mason Menard fight was supposed to be it. He passed that with flying colors.
Right.
I mean, I do think that you're supposed to go from a Mason Menard, however, to a better opposition. The guy he's fighting next, I don't know if he's better than Mason Menard or not. It doesn't seem that way, going by resume, but, you know, you never know, but I would like to see Devin Haney with a against a better opponent, better than Mason Menard too. In this next fight, I'm trying to see where he's ranked.
When I see the WBC, he's 10th, and the person before him is Ray Beltran. So I like, you know, somebody like that next fight, or Fontour. However he feeling? He still probably falling out in the ring or something. Yeah, one of those would be a nice little step up fight for him.
Those are real step up fights.
Yeah, right. I think that those two are big step up fights, but you know what?
It's gonna have to happen eventually.
I think Haney would win them.
I don't know if he'd take that path, because at the end of that rainbow is Mikey Garcia. I don't know if you want to go that way. I think he might lean more towards that IBF first, because he'll make it up to the top too quick, and I don't see within the next year him being ready for Mikey Garcia next year or two.
I mean, I'm surprised too. I mean, I thought he would have had a 12 round fight, but apparently he has not had any 12 round fights yet, and this fight is only 10 rounds. So, you know, I guess whatever his type of fight is going to be, it should be a 12 rounder. You know, just to see where his conditioning is at. I'm sure it's quite top notch, though. But I think it's time for him.
I would like to see him move up. And you know what's crazy is that ranked number 7 by the IBF when he shouldn't
be. East said he fell way to 7.
Number 7. I remember Devin Haney was talking about he could beat Robert Easter. I don't know if y'all
remember. That would be an interesting fight.
I remember that, but at the time, he really wasn't ready at all.
So. No, he wasn't ready then. But by next year, or by the end of this year, if you really championship material, you got to get in there. I mean, Robert Easter is number 7. You can't skip Robert Easter. Like,
no, it would, of course not.
There's no way. Looking at this list of these opponents, there's no way that Robert Easter, first of all, shouldn't be ranked number 1 as far as the IBF contenders. But after that, I mean, there isn't any bigger name that Devin Haney could fight. It just so happens that Robert Easter is number 7 and Haney's 10. So I can see that being a title. A title eliminator, too, like somewhere down the line.
Yeah,
between them two.
I thought you were about to say next. So I was like, there's a couple more.
No, people. Not next.
Yeah,
no, like probably like around December.
December. Who is Tommy fighting for the IBF?
The number three guy, Chanier.
Yeah, right. The number three guy. Yeah. Issa Chanier or something.
Yeah, okay.
And that fight's actually signed. I think that's good to go.
Oh, you mean the guy from Russia?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's on the that's on Kovalev. That's on the
Alvarez, Congress, right? Too. Right.
I mean, I'm looking at the IBF list right now. I mean, there are some names. I see Bartholomew at six. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that guy doesn't deserve a fucking shot.
Regardless of whether you like him or not, can't stand him or not, if Devin Haney is what he says he is, he's going to have to make it past the Rancis Bartholomew's of the world.
Right, you know what that's
what I'm saying. That would be a great fight because
Eastern Bartholomew are 6-7.
Bartholomew's style, Easter's length, pause. I mean, you know, they're difficult. It was difficult for Mikey to deal with Easter's length.
And, right, for a while, right.
Yeah, for like, you know, 4 or 5 rounds or whatever. And Mike is the best 135er, in my opinion. It's a toss-up between him and Loma. But yeah, both those would be good tests for Haney. Really good tests. Like, really, really, really fucking good tests.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, let's just keep the ball rolling. And let's get into what's going to be a Sunday fight on Fox. Am I right?
FS1.
Yeah, man.
Fox having football on Sunday, so no Fox.
Yeah, man. Who that?
Man,
I knew
Fox,
it was coming.
Fly. You know, after that fucking game, man. So depending on my mood, I'm gonna be like, I don't watch no fucking boxing. Or
I guess you're not watching the fight then. You might as well not even drop your opinion then, because you ain't.
But yeah, man. That FS1 card, the main event was Jose Ugarteke's and Caleb Plant. I tried to skate around his damn name, dog. Yeah, I tried to skate around his name.
I say it quick.
Yeah, yeah, the other card with Brandon Figueroa, he'll be on there. But the main event. This is Caleb Plant. A lot of people say this first big step up fight. He been barking at the champions for a while, and now he got one. How y'all see this fight playing out, man? I know I'm leaning towards little Big Uzi to win it on points, but you know y'all might be able to see a difference. So I just want to get y'all opinion on how y'all see this playing out.
I mean, Caleb Plant, he's cool, but Uzi is an animal. He should take him out. I can't see him lasting for 12 rounds.
Really?
Uzi's a monster. Like, has Plant fought anybody as power and with power and strength like Uzkatagi? Like I don't think so. I can see him outboxing him for a little bit, but I just can't see him doing it for a full 12. I just can't.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pete. At one time I thought Plant was pretty impressive, but I kind of cooled off on him. And then this last fight he had with, it was like last year with Porky. And Porky came in like heavy and he was injured, and Plant didn't once try to get rid of him. And I'm just like, you know, he just and also too, he also let Porky also get back in the fight, like even though the scores didn't really reflect except for maybe one judge's score. So I'm just like, this was probably the fight for him to actually show me something, and he didn't do it. And in comparison to, you know, to Uzi, you know, I mean, although a couple fights before, he knocked out Andre Durrell. I mean, you know, he pretty much beat up on Durrell in both fights. And I just think right now Uzi just has a little bit too much for him, and I think he'll probably stop him late.
I think that I actually agree that Uzi has the upper hand. But I think that Caleb Plant, what's his nickname? Sweet Hands?
Pause.
Let's call him Candy Cane or something like that.
If
there's a slight chance that he could outbox Uzi, he might catch him when he's moving. He's got a pretty good jab, but like you guys kind of said, Uzi's a monster, and once he gets going and he gets ahead of steam, it's hard to stop him, even with boxing skills and traditional defense and all that shit.
Man, I'm going with Caleb Plant to win. I'm going with him to outbox Uzi to a decision. Knowing how these judges score fights nowadays, I'm going to go with it being a split decision for Caleb Plant. But I'm going with the boxer over the brawler, man. Caleb Plant, I can see him reeling off combinations. I can't see him actually hurting Uzi at all. But I don't think that Uzi's... I mean, how can I say it without being disrespectful to his talents? Like, I think he's good, but I'm going to say that the Andre Durrell victories...
Say, outside of Andre Durrell, who else that we got to lean on?
Right. I mean, he lost to Matt Korobov.
And lost.
We won't. Now the narrative would be that Korobov was good, but if we would have said the month, it would have been a valid point. So that's the same way I feel about Caleb Plant. That Caleb Plant has the opportunity to get the W here and change how people look at him. Andre Durrell was outboxing Uzi too, in the first fight, I believe it was. At first,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
his uncle.
Yeah, and he got caught. His uncle caught him clean. So that's how you know Uzi not getting knocked out. But I do see Caleb Plant winning that fight. I do see him winning the fight via decision.
Damn, that's going to be one hell of a goddamn fight, man. But yeah, when it comes to 2019, man, what's something y'all looking forward to? What are something y'all predict happen? Like maybe a fight or something? Just overall thoughts. Something that y'all can throw out there. So the last year, the last cast of the year, we can look back and see if it happened or not.
Mikey only going to fight once in 2019?
No.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to Mikey versus Loma. I'm looking forward to Wilder versus Joshua. Or let me rephrase, the unification of the heavyweight belts, however it happens.
I'm looking forward to some divisions starting to clean up themselves. Like, there are too many fighters in the divisions that are lingering around, like, especially at welterweight, Andre Berto, that need to go. In 2018, I want to see some of these fighters, to be, taking the fuck up out of here. You know what I'm saying? They're taking up space for more worthy contenders. I don't want to see motherfuckers on my TV anymore.
Man, can we please lay off Berto already? Like, he goes through a tough time anyway. Like, he's got to die. Yeah,
let's
sit on the man too much right now. Like,
I understand that, but in these fighters, some of these fighters in the divisions are taking up space, and it's starting to make me aggravated. And like, they're not cleaning, and the divisions are not cleaning them up. So that's what I want to see in 2019. Bro, this happens to be the first example that pops into my head. What can I say?
Let's get Triple G out the paint.
No, that's not possible.
I want to see Triple G 3.
Yeah. Nah, whoa. I spoke because you was, I gotta say it, bro. You was real Charlo with KO Triple G, but you was on that train for a long time, bro. I'm not about to let that one slide because after what I saw a few weeks ago, your boy was getting that 1-2, and it didn't look good. You know what I'm saying? I just want to revisit that. That's all I want to say.
No one is going to KO Triple G at middleweight. Nobody.
Somebody's going.
If he keeps fighting Canelo, Canelo will KO him. But we saw Charlo against limited opposition, and once we saw him fighting under a tad bit of adversity, and that was the surprising loss of his brother, like a half hour before he fought. That combined with a tricky old boxer who only had one loss before. If he had been in there with Triple G that night, Big Charlo would have got his ass beat. So I definitely was wrong on that one.
I'm going to say this. If Jamal Charlo that showed up on December 22nd versus Khabib was the Jamal Charlo that got into the ring with any version that I've seen of Demetrius Andrade, he would have took that L that I've been saying that he would take anyway. Mm-hmm. There's no way in the world that Jamal Charlo, with what he showed against Khabib, is beating Demetrius Andrade. I'm back on that train. I'm back on it. There is no way. Like, I mean, we can say whatever we want to, say whatever people want to, but Khabib's skills is nowhere near the level of Demetrius Andrade.
18.
You know what I mean? Okay. And so we can, that puts much more respect on Andrade's name, because we haven't seen him. We have seen him fight opponents on short notice that he hasn't seen, going across seas, having fights like that. However, we haven't seen him get outskilled by anybody. And Jamal Charlo was getting outskilled in there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, that whole night with the Charlos, man, I mean, one Charlo got a job. The other one should have took a mean L, because I didn't expect Khabib to be that goddamn sharp. Like, Khabib has been fighting, you know, dark matches, pretty right. much prelims, for like the last couple of years, and he comes in there and just literally had his way, with the exception of the 12th round with him. Like, it would be one thing if Khabib was like a younger fighter and was actually prime and actually been putting some work in 160, but that fight made Maul look super bad to me. It was like amazing. Yeah. Like, he didn't adjust to him or nothing. Like, he just kept on getting blasted with left hands and body counters too. It was like, and then Khabib was actually taking his shots pretty well, with the exception of the 12th round. I was just like, this is some unbelievable shit I'm watching right now.
he took that L that I'm sorry, he took the dub that Jermell should have got.
Right.
In my opinion, Jermell won, and he should have got that W. Jamal Charlo, if anyone of the two, lost that fight, but he got the W for his brother, so they saved the day. But I do think that Jermell Charlo should have got the W. I know a lot of people were talking about the Tony Harrison. They thought Tony Harrison won, that the judges weren't giving the credit for what Tony Harrison was doing, but I mean, I'm going to have to watch that fight again, but I didn't really see.
Tony Harrison, all he did was, I mean, he had a nice counter jab, and then he kept on backing up. Like, there was nothing. Like, that was all he was doing.
Yeah.
I like Tony Harrison, but he didn't do enough to win this fight.
Yeah, me too. I like Tony Harrison, but I thought that Jermell Charlo would win, because everybody always talking about how you got to be aggressive and come forward and press, and that's what he was doing the whole fight. Tony Harrison was doing the back foot boxing. But at the same time, just so I got to support my Ohio players, I would like to throw out Willie Nelson did this, get Tony Harrison up out of there. That's all I
got to
say about it.
Oh, my God.
Shout out to Willie Trey Nason.
I mean,
Nelson. I mean, my bad. That's the Sherbert OG. Y'all go ahead.
I mean, to be fair, Mel didn't look that great either. But he was, I thought he was the more aggressive fighter in this fight. I mean, he wasn't, I mean, Harrison did make him miss, but Harrison didn't make him pay for missing all that much. And right. that was the thing, that's what made the fight close. Right. But it was close for Mel, to me.
Mm-hmm. Watch it. Just check it out. I'm telling y'all.
I think, you know, this is why I say I feel like boxing fans, I feel like sports fans in general are like this, but boxing fans are so prisoner of the moment. Like, I'm gonna give that night an aberration. Like, it was an off night. It happened. Just a whole combination of things. I don't think that was the best of Jermall Charlo, and I don't think we'll see that was the worst of Jermall Charlo. I don't think we're consistently gonna see that
every time he steps in the ring. So until he, I'm not going to get on that until he shows me he does it again. Then we can talk. But I feel like that was a rough night. It was the imperfect storm for him.
They don't need to fight on the same card no more. Like,
ever. Yeah, that's gonna be the case, right? Yeah. That's gonna be the case then, right?
But what I was gonna say, as far as my 2019, man, I think y'all gonna be disappointed this year, because I don't think we're gonna get none of the big fights that y'all are talking about. Joshua Wilder, I don't think Andrade, Canelo, Mikey, Loma. I mean, we might see a Pacquiao or Broner versus Wilder, Garcia versus Spence. But I don't think that we're gonna get the fights, because most of these promoters and networks, they just starting their new contracts and everything is in place. And you know, they got fights in March, so that's 3 months into the year. And then you peel it back, we're not gonna get some of these fights. So
I agree.
Hey, Leon. I don't mean to shit on it, but you know what I'm saying. I think like, even because I could even go Spence Thurman or winner of whoever, you know, some. Maybe Porter versus Spence Garcia winner or something like that. But I don't think we're going to get nothing like Thurman, Spence you know, Crawford.
Leon, let me ask you this, bro, because you drive the Crawford bandwagon, man. How you feel about this rumored fight with Amir Khan?
I thought it was locked in.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been announced. I heard it's pretty much locked in, but I mean, everybody's saying it's going to make Crawford a star if he can dominate Amir Khan. He's never been dominated, you know, and that's what Crawford's been doing. He's been beating most of the people. I mean, he's been beating everyone he's fought and dominating them. So if he can do that to Khan on ESPN, you're going to have the UK fans. It's going to be in New York. I think that's after Mikey and Spence fight. I mean, Mikey and Spence fight. So, is Khan like the best opponent? No, but I mean, when we ask the question, who can he fight? Well, he's one of the first people that people bring up is Khan, and that's what they did. I guess he agreed to fight Collazo, but he the response to the announcement of that fight bothered him. So he was like, fuck it, give me Khan then. So that's how it happened.
When they said he was fighting Collazo, I think everybody collectively groaned when they read that. Because I know I was just like, ugh. But this is Khan's probably gonna be the best fighter on his resume, if we're being really real. Like, that would probably be the best win on his resume. So, I'd take it.
So
Khan is still Khan, he's a name.
How many KO losses does Khan have right now?
Two. I don't know. Three?
Prescott,
Danny,
and
Canelo. Three?
Yeah, three.
But he got one of the best resumes in boxing, too.
In terms of
opposition. Not wins, loss, but just overall opposition he do.
Yeah, like, dudes who he fought and kicked his ass.
His resume is he's fought everybody, even though he hasn't.
Khan got some W's on there. We can't just
everybody
resume and be like, I ain't beat nobody.
He beat Madonna,
whooped up Devin Alexander.
He beat Ferreira.
Wanted Timothy Bradley.
He beat a washed up Ferreira.
He got these W's.
Paulie.
Judah.
I mean, so what? But when was the last time Khan had a quality win?
His last fight at welterweight against Aldry,
the Vargas fight was at welterweight.
No, I mean before he went up, like, yeah, he coming back down to welterweight, but when he was at welterweight, when he went on his little run, when he beat Collazo, Alexander, and Aldry,
yeah,
Aljiri, man. I mean, people thought he actually lost. The Devin fight surprised me because he whooped Devin.
Yeah.
And Palazzo too. But the Aljiri fight, I think people thought he lost that fight. Shit, yeah. I almost put money on that fight too. And I was pissed that he won.
I mean, yeah. But people also thought he won. I mean, he also beat. People thought he beat Lamont Peterson.
I didn't. I'm not worried about it. I thought Peterson should beat him. I thought that was a bullshit decision.
See, I thought he lost to Julio Diaz too, but that's another.
Look at it like at welterweight. Who else would Terrence Crawford fight?
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
You know what I mean? So
I mean, plus two, Khan is probably one of those people that
I guess.
I mean, Khan also doesn't have the politics as most welterweights do, so I think he can go, you know, through whatever channels or networks or whatever without any problems. That's the important thing.
Yeah, but I mean,
what does Terrence Crawford got at welterweight? He has the win over Jeff Horn, and then he has Jose Benavidez, right?
Yeah,
welterweight.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I guess.
For a legit, the
other two champs, Porter is fighting Ugas and Thurman is fighting Jose Zito Lopez. Mm-hmm. Are those fighters better than Khan?
No.
I don't know. I'd have to see Ugas versus Khan at this point.
I think Ugas would probably beat the Ugas of 2019 would beat the Khan of 2019. If I'm being real,
That's true because remember y'all, Samuel Vargas had Khan looking shaky.
I don't know if y'all remember what I'm saying.
So that's what I'm saying. It was coming back. It's a good name for Crawford. I'm looking at it as like his first legit welterweight. That's how I'm looking at the fight. But after Khan, we need a raise in competition. Again.
Go to Jesse Vargas.
I still, to this day, I'm rocking with that the first fight Crawford going to fight on PBC is going to be Danny Garcia.
I think so, too.
That's going to be the first
one. I hope so. I think he would fuck Danny Garcia up.
Ditto.
Danny Garcia. Yeah,
I'd pick for him against Danny.
I don't know. I see Terrence Crawford making easy work of Terrence. I said Danny Garcia too. I see Terrence Crawford making easy work of him too. Really though, I want to see where the winner of Pacquiao and Broner goes. Like I know we're gonna do a cast on this next week. So I really, you know what? I'm not even gonna touch on that yet. Pause. We could talk about that next week. Nice. So, but I will say. I do not see Mikey Garcia fighting the rest of this year. So that Loma fight is out. Like, I don't see the punishment he's going to take moving up against Errol Spence that he's going to come back just 3 months later.
No. Unless he knocks him out early and doesn't take any type of punishment. That would be some other shit if that actually does happen.
Yeah. Errol Spence is like when it comes to smoking, you got papers. And then you got white owls. And Errol Spence put them white owl beans on you, them slow burns. He don't go in there to knock you out with just one punch in the first round. He go in there and put a beating on you. And that's what I'm saying for Mikey Garcia. I respect what he's doing. I see him trying to get stronger, get his weight up, get his strength up. But
the picture that I saw of him like bulking up did not look good. I don't know.
It doesn't look good to me either. I mean, it just looks like, added weight that's not like really beneficial for him. Exactly. He needs to be slower.
His physique always looks messed up. He looks so doughy in the middle part.
Except for that one time that he was doing shakes and he was ripped to shreds.
So let me ask this. What would he have to do to impress us versus Errol Spence?
Not taking punishment.
I think that when Mikey takes a few rounds off Spence and manages to either not get knocked out or last until like the 10th, people will be impressed.
Yeah, I mean, just as long as there's no business decisions like, you know, Robert Garcia pulling him out of the fight or some shit like that.
Oh, good call.
I mean, that's still a possibility.
When they do that face off against Errol Spence. Man. Like, it's going to look ridiculous. It's going to look ridiculous. It's going to look like a 12th grader versus a 7th grader.
Fat 7th grader. Cherry World, AT&T Stadium.
Yeah,
Funny thing is, Big George is backing Mikey. I saw that on Twitter. I'm like, what? Like, he's backing Mikey against Fed.
I mean, if Mikey win, and he want to say he the best of his generation, I'm going to let him have that title. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to say anything about it.
I just thought it was funny. And then he thinks, like, after four rounds, he thinks that Mikey would be walking Spence down. I'm like, love you, Big George, but I don't know about all that.
I just feel like, can Mikey hurt Spence? Because we seen Kell Brook land a lot of shit on Spence. And people say he got rocked. I mean, I didn't really see him get hurt in that fight. But if Mikey is not hitting harder than Kell Brook, I don't see him winning. Like, I feel like you got to hurt Spence to beat him. You can't try to go 12 rounds and win a decision with him, because he's active and he's like a sniper, and he's going to dog you out, and he's going to pick your shots. And I just feel like, man, if you can't hurt him, you're not going to beat him.
The only way that I see that Mikey could beat Spence is that if he keeps Spence moving the entire fight.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said it, someone actually, I'll give props to them. It was someone in the ring on the Cali that said it needs to look like Floyd Mayweather versus Corrales, I think. And because Mayweather just kept Corrales, you know, just like constantly resetting and moving and things of that nature. Mikey doesn't have the speed.
He's not more athletic or quicker than Spence.
Yeah, but if he can, if he can keep things moving, and I don't know, I think they see something in Spence. I don't know what it is, besides that he don't move his head that much, that they're gonna exploit. But I don't know. I think that's a tough, a tough victory for Mikey, even though I'll be rooting for him.
I think that Mikey Garcia Spence, at best case scenario, will look like Manny Pacquiao versus Antonio Margarito. But I think that in reality, it's going to look more like when Roberto Duran jumped up and fought Tommy Hearns.
Yeah.
It's going to look more like that.
End that quick? You think it'll end
it could. It could. I do think Mikey could get caught and trapped. Like, Mikey don't like body work. That's Spence's MO. We don't even know if Mikey can take shots from fighters that big. We do know that Mikey's extremely skilled, so that's why I say that Pacquiao Margarito, if he can implement that strategy, that's a little more reasonable to me than imagining Floyd, because I don't see Mikey able to implement those defensive tactics. But he could do a little bit what Pacquiao was doing to Margarito, but that's the only way I can see it. Mikey Garcia winning through accumulate. Damn, I can't even talk, man. The accumulation of power punches.
Yeah.
Like, I can see him doing that. Spence or something. Hope he's closing his eye or something.
Yeah, I don't know about that shit. Mikey ain't prime Pacquiao, and Spence ain't the over-the-hill Margarito.
And Pacquiao took a lot of punishment from Margarito.
Yeah, he did. Even in that fight, right.
Yeah.
And Spence is going to be a middleweight on fight night,
and he had to break his.
I forgot about that part too. Yeah, Spence gonna be about 160 in the ring.
He might be 170
at least.
Yeah,
I don't think that.
Wait, is it for the title? Because he can't go over 10 pounds.
No, that's for the second weigh-in, right?
That's the morning, right?
Oh yeah, because it was IBF. Yeah, so they have the two weigh-ins.
Yeah,
he'll be like a one, middle, big middleweight.
He could be 157.
But he walk around at 180. You know what I'm saying? So we know that already.
I mean, that's what Terrence Crawford called a nigga fat.
Yeah.
he was the same way too when he showed his skill.
He caught it.
177.
I'm gonna see if I can find Errol Spence fight night weight, his last one.
Yeah, Mikey gonna have to fight his best fight ever that night, yeah. Man. I mean, anything can happen in boxing, but I mean,
basically, he has to make Spence pay for his aggression because Spence is gonna be moving forward. He's gonna have to make him pay for, you know, coming forward on him. Else, he's just gonna run right through him, and that's why this fight didn't really interest me like that, because I just see a one-sided nature, or eventually, ending up one-sided.
Mm-hmm. If Mikey could time his jab early, I guess, and get 1-2s off, and maybe sting Spence early or land a bunch of them, I don't know.
Hey, Smoke, so if you had a mill to bet on a fight, who would you put it on?
I mean, to bet on the fight?
See, here you go. Pick one or two names. I mean, one out of the two names. Who would you put it on?
I think Spence is going to win. I want Mikey to.
He's basically saying
Spence. I just want to see if you're thinking with your heart or your head.
Nah, I think Spence is going to win. I want Mikey to win. I think it's going to be, what's it called? I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, if it does go 12, I can see that. If it ends up going the full distance, I think it'll be closer than... But I don't know, man.
I don't know, man. Mikey just gonna have to surprise me.
Want to see what Mikey do next after this. Like, you know, if he loses, does he jump right into a Loma? Well, I forgot to air him the shit with Aaron. So yeah, that ain't gonna happen. So
yeah,
man, Mikey's gonna enjoy that check that he gonna get.
He gonna get Mark
like somebody like you say. We might not see him again for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
how much is he getting per Spence?
I don't know.
They didn't tell us. It's gonna be career high. On Fox pay per view, so I mean that's the first Fox pay per view we done had in if ever. So
it's
sponsored by Jerry Jones Long Money.
Yep. Man, my only thing I think what's gonna happen in 2019 is there's gonna be a title change at a light heavyweight. Somebody gonna lose their belt. I don't know who. But I'm just gonna throw it out there.
I'm looking at better beat on losing his belt first.
Somebody gonna lose. I'm telling you, somebody gonna lose.
Y'all told me he was the best light heavyweight.
I mean, I think somebody will, because we had two light heavyweights lose their belts last year. I feel like every year one light heavyweight does lose his belt.
Right.
Last year, and everybody bet it. So now we use somebody else now since he was there that everybody thinks. Who's the weak link? Probably Alvarez.
I think Alvarez will probably. I think Alvarez will probably knock out Kovalev again. I'm looking at better beef.
I'm looking at Bivol.
Against who though?
I mean, I don't know. Who's better gonna lose to? I mean, Gavadze could be Bivol.
I mean, Bostic, but
Adam is going to be hiding Bostic, so he's a top rank, so he's not going to fight anybody. You know how that goes.
I mean, I don't really think Bostic is going to be doing the hiding. I think he's going to be doing the hunting.
Definitely not a Helenial.
Yeah, I mean, he's the man of that division. I mean, he went to Showtime to get that shot, so I mean... I'm pretty sure he's gonna challenge himself, but it's just Beterbiev is the one. I'm just he started to raise some question marks. I mean, I don't know, and it's just that. I mean, maybe it's just that last fight he had.
It's that last fight, and what I like I said, boxing fans being prisoner of the moment again.
Yeah.
I mean, we gotta be prisoners of the moments. We haven't seen him do nothing since like 2013.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's been hella inactive.
Like, yeah, so we don't have nothing to go off of with him. Like, we can't be like, remember back in 2014 when he was doing this?
Well, it was in 15, but yeah.
I mean, it's 2019 now.
Yeah,
so it's still last 4 years, so it's like
his last fight was his best op.
Isn't he fighting? No, Tavares probably was his best op, probably.
Or, I mean, at that time,
yeah. Isn't he fighting on the Andrade undercard?
No, he's not on that game. He's supposed to be fighting Joe Smith Jr. I just don't know when that fight's going to be.
I don't know, but just think about it. Yeah. He's been a professional since 2013. He's only had 13 fights.
It takes a while.
Like, his career is getting going past him. He'll be 34 on the 21st of this month.
Mm.
13 fights.
Yep, 30 is a new 20.
So it's like, yeah, we gotta. It's hard to just judge what's going on, but I like to see him in the mix. Von Michelle, gotta let him go.
But shit, what y'all think about the 126 division? You know, that same night with the Charlos was the Warrington card, and he was dogging Frampton out there, dog.
Yo, Warrington earned my respect, man. Like, because before the fight, he was talking that shit. Like, Frampton wasn't on his level. And then he goes in there and beats the shit out of Frampton. I was like, God damn it. I really didn't think he would do it, too. But Warrington definitely earned my respect that night. I mean, he beat the fuck out of Frampton. I was like, finally. I mean, LSA couldn't even do that. You know, so
he was impressive. He definitely was impressive.
Yeah,
right. And then, the Dillian White and Chisora knockout. Two was that
same spot. Well,
yeah.
You know, like, Dillian White, man, he's not a good boxer, but he has mean power in that left hook of his. So,
what do you guys think of a Dillian White versus a debut at heavyweight Usyk?
Usyk wins.
Usyk.
Good test out fight at heavyweight, or?
Yeah, it's a damn good. I think it's a damn good fight, man. That'd be an impressive debut fight for him. White, like Pat said, White got some hell of a power, man. But I think he'll be ready for him. What y'all think, man?
I want to see White versus Ortiz.
I want to see White versus Wilder to get that shit over with, man. Because he.
I want to see White against any of the top guys. We're gonna get a Joshua White rematch. Like, fuck out of here.
Yeah,
and we're gonna get a Wilder versus Brazil because Brazil is his mandatory.
Man, yeah, I don't even mention him, man.
That's the funny part. That, like, when I went that night to the Barclays, that was the best fight of the night, and that was still a struggle fight. Like, as far as like action, it was terrible. Like,
yeah, that was awful.
Yeah. Oh yeah, B. Yeah, you was at the fight and stuff that night. How was it, bro?
I mean, the atmosphere was cool, but like, I gotta admit, after Mel got fucked, like the crowd just completely died. All the energy was just zapped out. So like, everybody fucking left, and that was the end of that. Like, people weren't even paying attention to the Jermall Charlo fight. Like, at one point, like in the middle of the fight, there was a fight in the crowd, and more people were paying attention to the fight in the crowd than the actual fight in the ring. Nobody was paying attention. Niggas were smoking weed and shit. Like, nobody cared.
Yeah. Like, you know what I thought? Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know, I was saying, like, that was the highlight of the night. It went the climax. The Jermell Charlo decision. And after that, it was just like everything else. It was a struggle night, honestly. I'm thankful I got the ticket for free and I didn't have to pay for that. I would be mad if I had to pay for that.
But I thought it was funny that the last time they was up at the Barclays when the Charlos was beefing with AB and Jermall Charlo was talking about how the fans be booing AB and all that stuff, only for him to get booed in the main event at the Barclays in his very next fight.
Mm.
For the lack of action. Because remember, that's what he was talking about with AB, saying how his fights is boring and he was getting booed. So I thought that was funny because it's the same exact venue.
To be fair, the Barclays has no love for anybody. That's what I was gonna say. Like they booed Thurman. They booed like I went both times for the Thurman, yep. Both Thurman fights. They booed, like they really got no like somebody some boxer needs to get on this new shit. Like Barclays Center ain't got no love. Like you know some shit like that.
Yeah, the Barclays only respect hands being thrown. They're not like you standing there posing. They're like any of that.
Yeah, no.
That's real talk, man. Because like I said, when Thurman and Porter were flying, like you know, the crowd was you know was going crazy, you know. But none of that posing shit.
I thought Wilder has earned mad respect in Barclays.
Yeah, they love Wilder. I mean, they love Wilder because he constantly keeps exciting fights. Like he was there at the fight, and he was the man. Everybody
remember that stare down.
You couldn't get within like 5 feet of him because there was too many fucking fans within 10 feet of him. There's like so many, he was the man. But yeah, otherwise it was okay.
No. Otherwise,
I may, depending on my schedule. If I'm free that Saturday, I will be there for the Thurman fight because it's Thurman. So hopefully that's a good fight.
It won't be, but you know.
Hopefully, he makes it to the fight uninjured.
Yeah,
exactly. No shopping carts.
No cards.
This month, huh?
Yeah,
January 26th.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Honestly, ever since I told you guys like about what that interview that I saw with Thurman, I'm kind of like that really made me think about like. Is it time to get off the Thurman train? Because it sounds like he's doubting himself. He told on himself and he didn't even realize it. So,
man, he just I got told back. Y'all that already, man.
Man, he's married. All he wants to do is eat and play his wooden flute. I keep telling y'all, you know, Thurman's not a warrior no more, man.
But
domesticated, man.
For a fighter to say that if another fighter would have hit them on the chin with the same punch that they hit them in the arm, that they would have been knocked out, I can't co-sign that. You can't be saying that.
No.
That's the same fighter that said that he don't mind being number two or three in the world because it's still number two or three.
Well, no, the context was different in that one. No, like he was like, if you could beat me, then beat me. But this was like, this was really bad. Like, I understand what he was trying to say, but it was, yeah. So I think we might see the downfall of Thurman too. Like, once he gets his first loss, it might be a wrap.
Yeah, he's not going to want to fight again.
Yep.
Would you?
Put in flu.
Spend that money.
Yeah, man. But shit, man. Before we go ahead and wrap it up, man, let's go ahead and kick it around the room. So, you know, just let everybody know. Everybody should know by now, but let's just reiterate where the fans can follow each and every one of us at on our individual social media pages, man. Y'all know how we normally do it. And News going to wrap this thing up. Smoke?
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Smoke. You can follow me at Free Smoke Boxing on Twitter and Instagram. Come and holler at me.
Pat?
Yeah, man. As everyone knows, man, all you have to do is just put in Pat Scorpio. And so, you know, you don't have to type the whole name. Just put PA and it'll fill in and it'll take you to where you need it to be. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know, but if you can catch me on my own Twitter, on the Ring Gang Radio stuff, or anywhere, man. Like I said, you know, I'm out there. And, Fly Eagles Fly, man. We're going to beat the Saints this coming weekend, man.
But, yeah, Leon, man, shit, what can the fans follow you on? And what's your prediction for the games this Saturday, this weekend?
Yeah, y'all can follow me at The Champ Side on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm picking the Saints, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, and the Chargers.
All right, y'all. Like, you can follow Ringside Rave. Y'all already know we on Twitter. You already know we on YouTube because you're most likely listening to us on YouTube. But if you didn't know, we are now on Spotify with the Fade Hour podcast. So that's big for us. We're on YouTube, iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play. Stitcher. So definitely tune into the Fade Hour, listen to us, man. But at the end of the day, I appreciate y'all for tuning in and supporting Ringside Rave, supporting all other bros. Go follow them, and y'all have a great evening. We out.
All right.
Peace, y'all.